Well, we are about to begin next Sunday. What on earth am I here for? The small group kickoff. Now, what I'm going to do tonight is I'm actually going to begin teaching week number one of the series tonight to give you an extra week to think about it, to meditate on it, to process it before we begin the actual small group kickoff. So again, the small group is going to begin next Sunday, but we're going to begin tonight on the teaching series. And I'm going to teach you tonight the content that's going to go along with week one of the small group. And I'm excited because already we have a variety of small groups being kicked off. I found out about a group of fathers and sons, men in our church who have middle school and high school boys at home. They're going to do a small group together, something that you're welcome to be a part of. We've got a middle school, what on earth am I here for group. We've got a high school group. We have a young adult group for the 20s and 30s in our church. We've got that group kicking off. So we've got a wide variety of groups taking place beginning next week. And if you're new to our church family, I get the fact that it's kind of intimidating just joining a small group, especially when you don't know anybody and you've never, you know, met anybody in that group. To be very honest, I don't think I would do it, That's why we want to help you with that. We have kind of a concierge team we created at the Info Center after service where you can talk to somebody on our team. And if you don't know anyone and you haven't been around that long, but you want to participate and be a part of it, let us help connect you. Let us introduce you to some people before the small groups begin so that you can already get to know some people in a group before you show up week number one to just help out a little bit. I think that would be a tremendous help to a lot of people. And so we're going to do that, help you find the right group, day of the week, location, demographic, specific. We've got men groups, women groups, married groups, different age groups, different interest groups taking place this summer, all based on what on earth am I here for? And it's not too late to begin a group. If you're interested in hosting a group this summer, there's still time for us to set you up with all the resources that you need. Again, whether you want to host a group privately for some neighbors or some coworkers or friends, or whether you want to host a group publicly for our church family, we will get you the materials. Everyone who participates this summer is going to get a What on Earth Am I Here For booklet. This is going to connect you to the video. It's got fill in the blanks and a discussion guide that goes along with each week's video. We're going to make sure everybody has this. Again, whether you're leading privately or publicly, we want to make sure you have all the booklets you need to have a successful small group this summer. Now, with that being said, let me give you some of the how-tos, some of the expectations. How can we really make this work as a church family? What is it going to take from us who call this our church family? Like, what is the expectation? How do we get the most out of the summer? I don't know about you, but I want to get the most out of it. I don't want to do something for the sake of doing it. I'm not into being busy for the sake of being busy. Like, I want there to be a point, and if I'm going to do it, I want to get something out of it. That's just kind of my personality. So let me give you some how-tos for the summer to get the most out of this. Number one is we expect every person who's a part of our church family. That means you've been a part of our church for 2 weeks or longer. We're expecting you, we're challenging you, we're encouraging you to attend a small group this summer, a What on Earth Am I Here For small group, and go on this journey with us. And a small group is defined by three or more people. So as long as there's three people, then it is a small group, and you will have healthy discussion that takes place, and there's power in that. God kind of wired us this way. Here's the truth. You can't get everything out of your relationship with God if it's just you and him. He rigged it that way. A lot of us think, well, I don't need small groups and I don't need church. It's just me and God. I just need God in my life. No, God designed it where you need more than him. God designed it where you need his family if you're going to get everything you're supposed to get out of your relationship with him. And let me illustrate it like this. If I have a brother, let's just say I've got a brother that I hate. I can't stand. I never want to be around the guy. Don't like him at all. How many know, as much as I love my father, the situation with my brother is going to keep me from having a full relationship with my father. No matter how much I love him, no matter how much my dad and I get along, the way I feel about my brother will affect the fullness of my relationship with my dad. Because every time he's around, there's going to be tension, there's going to be awkwardness, there's going to be times where I don't want to be around because he's there. So whether I like it or not, it affects my relationship with God. See, whether you like it or not, you've been given Christian brothers and sisters, and you need them to get all out of your relationship with God. It doesn't work any other way. That's why we're so passionate about small groups. Now, for those of you who like extra credit, for those of you who are overachievers in life and, you know, you always ask for the extra homework in school, that was not me at all. But for those of you that like that, I've got three more steps for you if you really want to get the most out of the summer. If you really want to maximize the summer and get everything possible out of this journey, I'm going to give you three more steps. And can I be very honest? These are steps that are very easy, very simple, not time-consuming at all, and they're steps that really every one of us should be doing. This isn't just for the overachievers. This is really for all of us. And here's step number two. Memorize one Bible verse a week for the six-week journey. I'm asking you to commit to memory. Take one verse a week from God's Word and hide it in your heart. There's power to that. And in fact, the first verse I put in your notes, I'm going to put them in your notes each week. So the verse for week number one, and here's the good news about week number one, I'm giving you an extra 7 days to memorize it. Because again, we don't start till next week. So you actually get 14 days to memorize this one. On the back page of your notes, if you look at the back page with me, on the very bottom, it says, "You matter to God." This is the week number one memory verse. Isaiah 44, verse 2. You'll see it show up in tonight's message. And I promise you, if you memorize that, meditate on it, it's going to help you get a lot more out of everything we're going to be learning, because there's power when you get God's word hidden into your heart. So memorize one verse a week. Step number three, read one chapter a day. One chapter of what? You may say, one chapter of the What on Earth Am I Here For book. This book has approximately 40 chapters, a chapter for every day of this 40-day journey, this six-week period that we're taking as a church family. And the chapters are very simple, very easy to comprehend, challenging, deep, but very, very easy to comprehend. And it takes about 5 to 8 minutes to read one chapter. And so I would encourage you to read one chapter every morning if you want to get the most out of this journey. And on our website, we have a link to Amazon where you could purchase a hard copy of this book. You can get it shipped to you in just a couple days. You can download a copy on your Kindle, whether you use the Kindle app on your iPad or have a Kindle device. You can download a copy, iPad, iPhone, and read one chapter a day. Because how many know, when you read the Cliff Notes, you understand the basic idea. But when you read the book, you get the full depth of what it's all about. And so I want you to get the full depth of this journey, especially because what we're talking about over this 6 weeks is so critical to you. Like, this isn't for us. This is for you. You're the one that's going to benefit when you truly answer this question and understand the truth about it. And then number four, listen to each weekend message. That's what you're doing tonight, listening to week one. You can do that live by being here for a weekend service, or you can go to our YouTube page, you can go to our website, you can go to our iTunes podcast, and listen to each weekend message, because the weekend message is directly connected to the reading, it's directly connected to the memory verse, it's directly connected to the small group that you are going to be a part of. And so this is what I think it's very reasonable for all of us to do this 6 weeks, but can I say, if you can only do one of them, if you can only choose one of these steps to do, it's number one, without a doubt. I'd rather you do number one than number four. I would rather you be a part of a small group than show up on Sunday, because I know you'll get more out of it. Now, there is a place for Sunday in our life, but without a doubt, you need more than this large group experience. You need a small group experience in your life if you're going to get the most out of this Christian journey. So those are the steps if you want to maximize and get the most out of this summer. It's how we're going to do it. Last week, we opened kind of with the pre-message to the series on three important questions in life. Today, what I want to talk about is life's three greatest questions. Last week, the questions were important. These are the greatest questions of life. Let's look at number one. It's the question of existence. Why am I alive? It's a pretty important question. Why do I exist? Why am I alive? Why am I on planet Earth? I mean, have you ever thought about it? Like, out of all 7 billion people that we co-inhabitate Earth with, why me? Like, why do I specifically, personally exist? And this question isn't new. People have wrestled with this for centuries. In fact, men and women throughout the Bible wrestled with this question. Jeremiah said it like this: why was I born? Like, what's the point of my life? Was it only to have trouble and sorrow and to end my life in disgrace? I mean, no, Jeremiah is having a pretty bad day. I don't know what's going on, but it doesn't look good for him, does it? How many of you have ever felt like Jeremiah? How many of you have ever felt like, what's the point of this? It's just like one bad thing after another. As soon as my life starts to go well, something else happens. I mean, what is the point? I heard someone say, I hope life isn't a joke because I don't get it at all. Somebody else said, my life has a great cast of people in it. I just can't figure out what the plot is. And I think there's a lot of us who feel that way. Why am I here? What's the purpose of my existence? Well, if you want to figure out the meaning and the purpose of life, without God, you really only have 3 ways to do it without God. The first way you can try to figure out the purpose and the meaning of life is what we call the mystical approach. The mystical approach says, look within yourself. Realize who you are. It's kind of the Star Wars, you know, Luke, trust the Force, use the Force, what's in you. And honestly, that sounds pretty spiritual, doesn't it? Like it kind of sounds like it's the right answer. Like, if you really want to know the purpose of life, look within yourself. But here's the problem. It doesn't work. It doesn't. If it did work, every single one of us would know the purpose to our life. Because every human being I've ever met has done that. Everyone I know has sat around pondering the meaning of life, trying to figure out who they are and looking inside of themselves, only to find no answers. And the reason we find no answers is because we didn't create ourselves. And since we didn't create ourselves, we can't figure out the answers from ourselves. We are created beings. The second way to try to figure out the meaning and the purpose of life without God's help is what they call the self-help approach. Now, in the self-help approach, there are hundreds and hundreds of books on this. There's seminars, there's conferences, especially in the corporate world. It's filled with it. And the self-help approach basically says you got to invent your purpose. You've got to create your purpose. That's how you find the meaning of life. Now, because I love you, what I'm going to do is I'm going to save you thousands of dollars right now. Because every self-help book basically says the exact same thing. I mean, it's the same general guidelines and principles. Step number one, consider your dreams. Step number two, go after your ambitions. Aim high, set goals, break your bad habits, learn to manage your time, be disciplined in life. And never, ever give up. Believe in yourself. Now, can I tell you, those are actually pretty good steps at becoming successful in life. But here's the problem. You can become successful and still never know your purpose. You can become wildly successful and never know why God put you on earth. Because the purpose to your life is greater than your own personal fulfillment. It's greater than your happiness. It's greater than your peace of mind. It's greater than your success. Self-help doesn't work because it doesn't take into account that we are made by God, but not just made by God. We were made for God, not for ourselves. The third way you can try to figure out the purpose and the meaning of life is the philosophical approach. The philosophical approach is the idea that you sit around and you speculate about the purpose of life. You speculate the meaning of life. So if you take the philosophical approach, basically what you need to do is go get yourself a cardigan, get some nice glasses, a nice pipe, sit out by a fire with a glass of wine with some friends, and ponder the meaning of life. Why am I here? Where did we come from? Where are we going? What is it all about? And that's the philosophical approach. And look, philosophy has its place. It really does. But the truth is, when it comes to the purpose of your life, they're just guessing. And your guess is as good as mine. You need more than speculation. You need revelation. You need someone to reveal to you what it's all about. Dr. Hugh Moorhead, the professor of philosophy at Northern Illinois University, he spent his career writing hundreds and hundreds of famous people. And he asked all of them the same question: what is the purpose of life? He wrote famous lawyers and famous artists and famous politicians and famous engineers and famous singers and celebrities and on and on. And then he published a book of the results. Now, most people simply just offered their best guess. Some people said, well, you just got to make one up for yourself. Others said, I don't have the slightest idea what the meaning and the purpose of life is, but if you figure it out, can you let me know? This is my personal favorite. Carl Jung, you know, the famous psychiatrist. Carl Jung, here's what he wrote. He says, I don't know the meaning or the purpose of life, but it looks like something were meant by it. Thanks, Carl. I mean, that was great. I mean, now I know why this guy has the degree. I mean, Isaac Asimov, the science fiction writer, wrote, as far as I can see, there is no purpose in life. Joseph Heller, the author, said, I have no answers to the meaning of life, and I no longer want to search for anyone. How tragic is that? To give up on trying to figure out what is the purpose, what is the meaning? Well, look, if you take God out of the equation, then you don't really have a lot to go on, do you? You can try to look within. You can kind of invent one for yourself, or you can just guess. Those are the alternatives. Why did God make us? Why did God put us here? Well, let me give you a clue. In Proverbs, it says, the Lord made everything, everything, everyone, everything. Why? For his own purposes. See, we were not made for our purpose. We were made for his purpose. And there's so much power to that statement when you think about it. Think about it. We weren't just made by God. See, it would be one thing if God made us. That would be great, but it's a step more than that. God didn't just make us. He made us for a purpose, meaning not any of us are arbitrary, accidental, or unintentional. God made each and every one of us, not just because, but he did it for a purpose. And the truth is, what we're going to learn over the next few weeks is we were made for five specific purposes that we see in the Bible. And we're going to look in depth at each one of these five purposes. And when you start living out these five purposes, you are going to find a sense of fulfillment you never believed possible. But today, what I want to do is I want to help you understand the motive, why God did it, why God made us for a purpose. Paul answers this question in Ephesians 1. He says, long before God laid down earth's foundations. Now, let me explain that phrase a little bit, because oftentimes we read that so quickly, we don't catch the depth of it. What this is saying to us is long before Genesis 1:1. Think about that. Long before in the beginning God. Long before let there be light, let there be trees, let there be birds of every kind, let there be animals of every kind, let there be land, let there be water. Long before God ever said those words, he had us in mind. That's pretty powerful to think about. That before God created this planet, he had you in mind. He was thinking about you and settled on us as the focus of his love. To be made whole and holy by his love. So why am I here? What is the question of my existence? I was created to be loved by God, plain and simple. The only reason I am here is I was created to be loved by God. God made me so he could love me. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. God didn't need you. He wasn't lonely. God has never been lonely. God wanted you. And that's why you're alive. The reason your heart is beating right now, the reason you have breath in your lungs, is God wanted to love you. He created you to love you. And if God did not want to love you, you would not exist right now. Now listen to me closely. there is nothing you can ever do to make God stop loving you. You can try, but you'll fail. There's not one action you can ever commit, not one sin you can ever commit, not one thing you can ever do in your life to get God to stop loving you, because his love for you is not based on who you are. His love for you is based on who he is. His love for you is not based on what you do, whether you're a good person, whether you're a bad person, or whether you're completely indifferent to God. It's based on his character. God will never love you any more than he does this very second. And God will never love you any less than he does right now. And the reason is God's not moody. He doesn't have bad hair days. Like, God is consistent, and he made you to love you, and it's not based on your response. And what is so cool about the verse we just read is that before God created the universe, he had us in mind as the focus of his love. Now, what does that mean? See, this is why human beings are different from everything else in creation. Do you want to know why we are different than the animal kingdom? Why we are different from nature? Why we are different from trees and plants? Because it was all created for us. God didn't have animals in mind when he created the world. He had us in mind when he created the world. Meaning God designed this entire planet with us in mind. God wanted to create a place that we would enjoy, that we would love, a place of beauty, a place with just untold mysteries that we could explore and be a part of. And he did it because he loved us. That was what the Garden of Eden was all about. He did it for you. It's what makes us different. He made you to love you. Let me give you the second most important question in life. It's the question of our significance. Does my life matter? Okay. So I was made to be loved by God. But still, does my life matter? Do I have any significance about who I am? And again, this is something that they wrestled with throughout the Bible and throughout centuries. Isaiah in the Old Testament, he said it like this: my work all seems so useless. I have spent my strength for nothing and for no purpose at all. Do you know how many people in North County feel this way? I bet there's people here tonight who feel this way. Like, what's it all about? Like, why do I work so hard? I mean, have you ever thought about it? I mean, you ever been at work and you're like, what am I doing this for? Like, is the only reason I have a job so hopefully I can retire one day? Is that it? Like, the meaning of my life is I go to work to make money so I can retire. Is there anything bigger to my life than that? I mean, honestly, am all I working for is to hopefully get these kids to college one day? Is that why I have a job? Is there any greater purpose or meaning to my life than just trying to get this money to get this done and this done and this done, and then I'm dead and I don't take any of it with me? I mean, come on, let's be honest. How many of us struggle with this? Like, why do I get up Monday morning? What's the point? Like, does it really matter? Does what I do really matter in life? Does what I do really have any purpose to it at all? Like, I'm working so hard and it feels like I'm doing it for nothing. Like, people come and go. It's been that way for hundreds of years. So what does it matter that I show up to work? David goes on to say, I remember how short my life is. So why did you create us? Like, what's the point? Like, we're just here and then we're gone. Is it all for nothing? Job says, why should I work so hard for nothing? See, here's the truth. When you don't understand the purpose to your life, life seems trivial. Life seems petty. Life seems pointless and empty and meaningless, because you were made for more. You were made for meaning. You were created for purpose. In World War II, in the Hungarian death camps, one of the things the Nazi soldiers did with the Jewish prisoners is they would make them work just to keep them busy. And one of the jobs they gave them in this Hungarian death camp was to clean the sewage plant every day. They would just clean the sewage plant every day. Filthy job. Well, one day the Allied forces flew over and they bombed and they destroyed the sewage plant. And now they had no more work to give these people to do. So they came up with an idea. The sewage plant was now a pile of rubble. So every day they made these Jewish prisoners pick up the rubble and carry it from where it was to the other side of camp. And it would take them a couple weeks to do it. And then when they get all the rubble relocated to the other side of the camp, they made them pick it up again and bring it back to the other side. It was just meaningless work. It was just busy. It was just to keep give them something to do, to keep them busy, but they gave them something to do that had no point, no purpose, and no meaning to it at all. Well, what began to take place is these Jewish prisoners began to go crazy. They began to lose their mind. They became suicidal. They would do things to try to get the guards to shoot them because death was a more preferable existence than living their life without meaning. And I know a lot of people who feel like that today about their job. They work hard, but they don't get it. They don't understand why. There's no purpose to it. There's no meaning to it. And they feel like they're losing their mind because they're at work every week, but they don't feel any purpose or meaning to it at all. And the reason is because as human beings, we live life on one of three levels. We either live at the survival level, the success level, or the significance level. The survival level is where most of the world currently lives right now. Very few Americans, if any at all, have ever been on the survival level. See, the survival level of existence is you're just looking for your next meal. Like, your goal every day is find food. Your goal every day is find food for my kids, find a place to sleep at night. You are literally just surviving. Now, I would say, emotionally speaking, we have a lot of people in America living at that survival level. Emotionally, and the way it plays out is you're at work, but all you can think about is the weekend. Like, you're not enjoying what you do at all. You're just dreaming about vacation. You just can't wait to get to the weekend. You can't wait to clock out because what you do has no meaning. You're just emotionally surviving. The next level of existence is what we call the success level. The success level is you now have options in your life. If you have options, you are successful. Now, you may not have as many options as other people, but you have options. I don't know if you've thought about it like this, but do you realize when you go home tonight for dinner, you get to decide what you eat? I want you to think about that for a moment. Do you realize how many people in the world don't get that choice? Like, you have options in your cupboard right now. You will drive by more options for food on your way home than many people will ever see in their entire life. You have options. You are so incredibly blessed. Now, the reason you don't feel blessed is because you know other people who have more options. You've got some possessions in your life now. I'm sure there's things that you could lose and you could live without. You've got a few possessions. You've got a few options. You've got a few pleasures in your life. There's some things that you get to enjoy that other people in the world would love to enjoy. Like, some of your problems other people in the world would love to have. See, that's the success level. You've got some options. You've got some possessions. You've got some pleasures. Again, maybe not as much as other people, but you've got some. You've got a few. But here's the problem. If I'm so successful, why do I still feel so unfulfilled? Why does my life still feel so empty? Like, if I have these options that other people in the world don't have, and I've got possessions that other people in the world don't have, and if I got opportunities for pleasure that other people in the world don't have, why do I still feel so empty inside? If I'm that successful, why do I still feel so unfulfilled? Because you weren't created for success, you were created for significance. And that's the last level of human existence, significance. That's where you find meaning and purpose. What you need is not more money, you need meaning. What you need is not more possessions, you need purpose. What you need is not more success and not more status, what you need is significance. The problem is so many of us don't feel significant. We don't feel like we matter. Let me illustrate it like this. If I was best friends with Bill Gates or best friends with Warren Buffett or best friends with the President of the United States, how many of you would agree that I would have some perks in my life that normal people wouldn't have? Like, I could pull some strings. Like, if they were close friends and they loved me to death and they'd do anything for me, how many know I could pull some strings in life? There's some opportunities I would have that other people would not get out of that relationship. I'd be pretty significant. I'd matter. But do you realize you have open access to have this incredibly close relationship with the person that hung every star in the heavens? I mean, you are incredibly significant to God. Let's look at our memory verse. It's in your notes. Isaiah 44, verse 2. God says, I am your creator. I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. That's how much you matter to God, that he was caring about you and thinking about you even before you were born. Now, one of the things we did in Sunday school growing up, when the teacher wanted us to memorize a verse, we'd all have to say it out loud together. So I'm going to kickstart you in memorizing this verse. We're all going to say this out loud together, and we're going to pretend we're back in Sunday school. So I want you to say this with me out loud. Say it together. I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. That's right. That's how we did it in Sunday school. I always gave the reference. You know what this means? This means there may be accidental parents, but there is no such thing as an accidental birth. There may be illegitimate parents, but there is no such thing as an illegitimate child. There may be unplanned pregnancies, but there is not one unpurposed person. See, God even took into account human error, and he knew the right DNA mix it would take to get you on earth because he had a purpose for you. You see, he didn't create the purpose for you. He created you for the purpose. He had you in mind when he designed you. So here, let me give you three statements of our significance. First is he planned my days before my birth. Do you understand how huge that concept is? How can you be insignificant if the creator of the universe planned out your life before you were ever born? Do you realize how significant that makes you as a person? That he had you in mind, that before your grandparents ever met, he had a plan for your life. He had a purpose for your life. David said it like this, you scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. This is why abortion is so tragic, because we shortcut God's plan for someone, short circuit God's plan for somebody's life, their purpose. Every day was recorded in your book. That's how significant you are. Let me give you another statement of significance. He cares about every detail of my life. Every detail of your life, God cares about, big and small. One of the things I love, our youth pastor, he always says, there's nothing too big for God's power. There's nothing too small for his concern. He cares about every detail of your life. Jesus put it like this. Not even a sparrow can fall to the ground without your heavenly Father knowing it. The very hairs on your head are all numbered. And for some of you, you're making it easier for God. We'll move on. So don't be afraid. You are far more valuable to him than a whole flock of sparrows. That's how valuable you are. And then the last statement of your significance, and this one's huge, is he made me to last forever. Think about it. He had you in mind before you were ever born. He had you in mind before your grandparents ever met. He had you in mind before he ever said, let there be. He had you in mind. Not only that, but he created you and destined you to live forever. That's how significant you are. That's how valuable you are. You are going to live forever. Psalm 33 says, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. God's plan, you are God's plan. It will stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. So God's plan and God's purpose lasts forever. And again, what we're going to see this journey is God has five specific purposes for you. And here's the big reveal. They're just not for the here and now. They're for eternity. And if you thought about it like this, the five purposes God has for your life are not just for right now. They're actually for all of eternity. Meaning what this life really is a test lap. What this life really is a dress rehearsal. What this life is all about is practicing the five purposes because we're going to do them forever. And so God wants to give us a head start to practice these purposes since we're going to take them into all of eternity. So our biggest mistake as human beings is we get so caught up in the here and now. We get focused on the temporal instead of the eternal. One day this heart is going to stop breathing. Your heart is going to stop breathing. And that may be the end of your body, but that's not the end of you. Look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that when this earthly tent, you realize this is just a tent that I'm wearing right now. And I know it's a nice looking tent, but it's just a tent. Just kidding. It hurts when you laugh like that. We live in this earthly tent. When it's taken down, and can I say, it doesn't matter how organic you are or how much you work out, the tent's coming down. Can I just say? It's going to come down. Like you're not going to prevent the tent from coming down. That is when we die and leave this earthly body. We will have a house in heaven, an eternal body. I'm going to get a new tent one day. And the tent that I'm going to get one day is not going to break down, and it's not going to have issues, and it's not going to be like this one at all. And it's going to be made for us by God himself, not by human hands. That's powerful. So I want you to understand how significant you are. Before your grandparents ever met, God had you in mind. He cares about every detail of your life, and he made you to last forever. How can you be insignificant? Understanding that to be true. Let's look at the last question, the third greatest question of life. It's the question of intention. Then what is my purpose? Then what is my purpose? If all of that is true, what is my purpose? So let me start here. Bertrand Russell, the famous atheist, made this statement. He said, unless you assume a God, this is powerful. Unless you assume a God, the question of the purpose of life is meaningless. I love the fact that at least he's honest. At least he's being honest. What he's saying is, if there is no God, then there is no purpose to life. If there is no God, there is no meaning to life. If there is no God, then there's no grand scheme. There's no meaning at all. There's no significance to anything. Because the truth is, if there is no God, then your birth was an accident. You're just a freak accident of nature. That's all you are, if there is no God. Without God, you're just random chance. It just so happened that you were born. Like if the pond scum would have, you know, connected differently, you would not be here right now. If it was all just a freak accident. And if there is no God and everything is random, then if by some random chance you get killed tonight, well, then too bad. Because honestly, your life is no different than a goat or an ant or a duck or a snail on a sidewalk. You're just random chance. Look, if there is no God, then there's no such thing as an eternal soul. If there is no God, there's no such thing as right or wrong. There's no such thing as heaven or hell. There is no afterlife. If there's no God, there's absolutely no meaning or no purpose to this life at all. Look, people who say, I don't believe in God, people who claim to be atheists, they need to at least be intellectually honest enough to admit the logical conclusion of that belief. And the conclusion is, if there is no God, then nothing matters. It's just survival of the fittest. That's all there is. So if I want to kill you to get ahead in life, that's just survival of the fittest. Who are you to tell me that's wrong? If there is no God, who decides what's right and wrong? There is no moral absolute. What makes us right in another culture wrong if there is no God? Just survival of the fittest. I mean, understand, this leaves a very bleak and depressing world to think about. That's why, to be very honest, it takes a lot more faith to be an atheist than it is to follow God. See, but here's the truth. A lot of people want to be atheists because they really don't want a boss. Let's be honest. They really don't want to be told what to do. They don't want a higher power that they have to submit to. But they also don't want to follow the logic to the conclusion that if there is no God, everything is a freak random chance and nothing matters and your life doesn't matter. Can I ask, are we really just advanced educated pond scum? Is that all we are? Like, is that really what you feel? You look at the human body, we were designed. This didn't randomly occur. We were designed. We were created for purpose. But here's the problem. If you don't know what the purpose is, you're going to tend to misuse it and abuse it. Anytime you don't know what the purpose of something is, you will misuse that thing, you will abuse it. Why do you think sex is so abused in our culture? Because we don't know the purpose of it. Why do you think money is so misused in our culture? We don't know the purpose of it. Last night, I was walking around backstage, and I found some stuff, like this little guy here. I have no idea what it is. Have anyone ever seen one of these before? Like, I think we've had two people all weekend long have seen one of these before. Have any idea what it is? Like, I've got no clue what it is. Now, here's the problem. If I don't know what this is, if I don't know its purpose, I don't know its design, I don't know what it's here for, then I will tend to misuse it, abuse it, use it the wrong way. Now, it says, it has a sticker right here, and it says it is a butt kicker. Now, I have no idea what that means. I don't know if that's literal, but it is a butt kicker. That's what the little guy is. It kind of looks like a robot or something to me. I found this backstage last night, this little guy right here. It looks like a calculator. Again, I don't think it is. It's all letters. I have no idea how you would use it, what you would use it for, what this little device is. I think we need to talk to our worship pastor because I'm finding some pretty weird stuff back there. Again, the problem is, if I don't know what this is, if I don't know its purpose, if I don't know the design, then I will misuse it and abuse it. So I only have two choices. If I really want to use either one of these things effectively, I've got two choices. I can talk to the designer. I can ask the designer, what in the world is it and why did you make it? Or I can read the owner's manual. Those are the only options I have. But here's the good news for you. Those options are available to you. If you really want to know the purpose and the meaning to your life, then you can talk to the designer. And you can read the owner's manual. He gave it to us. Look at this in Proverbs. Knowing God results in every other kind of understanding. If you want to understand your purpose, you want to understand the meaning of life, it all happens in knowing God. Why? Genesis 1:1 gives us the answer. In the beginning, God. I don't know if you saw that. In the beginning, God. Now, what it doesn't say is in the beginning, Aaron. I wasn't there. Were you there? No, none of us were there. It was in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. Meaning, if I wasn't there and you weren't there, God was the only one there. So God gets to determine the purpose of our life, not us. I don't get to decide what I'm going to spend my life for. God gets to decide. It all starts with God. It doesn't start with me. It doesn't start with my happiness, my ambitions, my goals, my dreams. None of that. It starts with God. That's why Paul says in Colossians 1, everything. Everything. Now, here's why I like Paul. Absolutely everything, just in case you missed the first part. Like, let me just clarify for those of you that are slow. Absolutely everything. Everything above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose. You want to find your purpose? Are you tired of grinding the wheels at work every week, not really understanding why? Like, my life has no meaning. Why do I work so hard? What's the point of it all? You tired of that? Well, you find your purpose in him, in Christ. So how do I discover my life purpose? Very simply put, get to know God. It's the only way. The only way you're going to figure out why you were created is to get to know the designer. Get to know the creator. Read the owner's manual. It's the only option you have. Paul goes on in Ephesians 1 and he says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Part of the overall purpose. He is working out in everything and everyone. And we're trying to help you. That's what this summer is all about. The reason I'm asking you to be a part of a small group is so you can do this. Memorize his word. Familiarize yourself with his voice. Go deeper into the study. Be a part of the weekend and just get it all. Why? Because I'm trying to help you know God. This whole journey is about you knowing God. This whole journey is about you getting closer to him. Because it all starts in him. So if you're ready to take the journey and you really don't know if you're invited or welcome or what, let me end with this verse. I love this one. Acts 10. It makes no difference who you are. Can I tell you, it really doesn't. It doesn't make a difference what your nationality is. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. It doesn't matter your education. It really doesn't make any difference who you are. It doesn't even make a difference where you're from, what you've done, what your past looks like, how good you've been, how bad you've been. None of that really matters. Here's the good news. If you want God, and again, the only way you're going to find your purpose, the only way you're going to find meaning to life is in Him. If you want God and are ready to do what He says, the door is open. The door is open. You can step through that door. You can have as much as you want. I want you to experience what I experience. You realize I get to go to bed at night. I get to go to bed at night satisfied that I'm living the life I was created to live. You know how good that feels to go to bed that night feeling that way when so many people don't? I know so many people who have to wrestle with themselves to bed because they don't feel satisfied. They don't feel like they're living out their purpose. They don't feel like they were doing what they were created to do. I get to go to bed at night satisfied that I'm living my purpose. I wake up in the morning excited for each day because I know what I get to do and I know that it matters. Do you know how many people dread waking up? Oh, another day at work. I so desperately want you to have what I have. That's the entire reason we're doing this journey. That's why we're creating these steps for you. So I'm going to leave you with this thought. George Eliot said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." It's never too late to be who you might have been. Why wait? Why look back on your life and think of what you might have been? It's never too late. You can start tonight. You can start today to become that person you've always wanted to be. To become the person you know you need to be. The door is open. The door is open. God so desperately wants you to come through. Think about it. Think about it. Does any one of us as a parent want our children to live empty, dead lives? No. God wants you to connect to your purpose more than you need to. Because He loves you. He made you to love you. Like my wife and I had another son this year. Do you know why? So we could love him. We didn't sit around thinking, you know what, let's have another kid so we can hate him. It makes no sense at all. Like, let's have another child so we can just, like, be mean to him. I mean, it's just like, no, we had him so that we could love him. And that's how God feels about you, and the door is wide open tonight for you to step through. Would you close your eyes with me? I'm going to end tonight differently, and I'm just going to pray for everyone because I firmly believe every person in here has a next step in getting closer to Jesus. And for a lot of us, it's engaging this summer. Going all in for 6 weeks. Just 6 weeks. Look, if you don't get anything out of it at the end of 6 weeks, then fine. But I know you will. So why not go all in this summer? Why not take 6 weeks, 40 days, beginning next Sunday, and go on this journey with us so that you can experience what I get to experience every time I go to bed and every time I wake up? It's available for all of us. We all can live that life. That's actually what God wants for you. And I do know a lot of people in our church who are living that life, but I know a lot of people who aren't there yet. And so let us help you answer the question, what on earth am I here for? Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus. God, first, Lord, the question of existence, what are we here for? God, let every person here fully understand, reveal it to them, that they are here because you simply want to love them. That's why they're here. You made them so you can love them. Just like my wife and I made another son so we could love him, you made them so you can love them. The question of their significance, do they matter? Yes, they matter so much, God. Lord, they actually matter so much to you. You were thinking about them before you ever created this planet. Before you ever said, let there be light, you had them in mind. That's how much they matter. You care about every little detail of their life. You care about every big detail of their life. And God, they are so significant that they're going to live forever. I don't know how much more significant they can get. And Lord, the question of purpose, Lord, we only can find that in you. So I pray that all of us will take steps to get to know you better than we've ever known you, to go deeper in our relationship with you this summer, to dive in, to go all in, to know you so that we can know the purpose and the meaning to our life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Would you stand with me?